Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Philly Ladies. I'm Paulina. We have
Sharifa.
See.
and today we'll be discussing a movie and a series. So the first movie we're going to be talking about is I Care a Lot on Amazon Prime, and on Sky we've got A Discovery of Witches. So guys, how are you all doing this week? How are you going?
All right,
All right, not bad. Just here
Literally.
and there.
Literally, that's how I feel today. I'm so ready.
I need a holiday. I need a massive holiday. But it's one. It's something in the air this week, I think, for me.
Yeah,
It is what it
100%.
is.
100%. I mean, I was looking forward to the school run, but now the school run is here. The traffic is too. In terms of lockdown, come on. I was going before the schools were open because I'm a key worker, so it was easy breezy. But now I'm fighting traffic every bloody day, so it's not helping my stress levels in the morning. But
Golly,
I imagine when June 21st comes. It's going to be mad.
honestly, they said it's considering, it's not confirmed, so we'll see. That's just not.
Knows that you can't go back.
He did at Christmas. This man, he's confused.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway, so shall we get into
Get into it.
it?
So, I actually really like this show. So we're going to talk about A Discovery of Witches, where it's a British fantasy TV series based on All Souls trilogy by Deborah Harkness. I guess she wrote the three books. And it's named after the first book in the trilogy. It is produced by Bad Wolf and Sky Productions and stars Teresa Palmer, who in the film is Australian actress and writer and a film producer who plays Diana Bishop and also known as Dr. Phil, which I found on Wikipedia. I was like, oh, okay. And then we have Matthew Good, who is an English actor who plays Matthew Claremont, a vampire, alongside many others. There's eight episodes in the first series, and I think season two came out beginning of this year. And then that part three, because I was looking at for season three, but it's actually part two of two, if that makes sense.
They probably got like a they probably had a break.
Yeah, so that's gonna cut because of COVID, I guess. But that's gonna come out in Sharifa, why is your cheekbones cheeky?
Me, I'll just have a flashback of the season. I'll have a flashback of the season, and I'll just laugh at myself.
Okay, well, so you can catch the show on Sky. I almost bought it on Amazon Prime, but I was like, Lord Jesus, he directed me because I wouldn't have to pay for no reason. But yeah, I actually really, really enjoyed. I'm enjoying it. It is like an adult version of Twilight, I want to say, because it's like, okay, forbidden love, vampire and witch, blah blah blah. But it's all right. It's growing on me so far. So what do you guys think?
Go on,
Go on,
Sharifa.
Sharifa. This is a Sharifa show.
Yeah,
This
this
is
is. I was gonna say, Sharifa,
You
you
know
take it
what?
away.
I
Oh
watched
well,
it.
can I just give myself
Wow,
a little
I
dust?
watched
I
it.
did discover it myself when I said, "Oh, it's a Sharifa show." But
I kind of watched this a while back before these two young ladies over here. So, my mind is still in the season two era, but we'll get into it next week when we touch on that. But I really liked it. When I was introduced to it, I was told it was really slow. So my other half introduced me to it, and he was just like, "Oh, it's so slow." But when I watched it, I loved it. I loved that it wasn't the typical vampires and werewolves and ripping out each other's necks and stuff like that, even though I don't mind those gory stuff.
little
But that's a lot of vampire movies. There's a lot of the biting. It's over excessive violence sometimes.
yeah
And I like that this was more about the politics behind the scenes. So as you said, it was a grown-up version of Twilight. It's practically like the politics we go through now, but in the vampire, werewolf, and witches world. There's always going to be conflict when it comes to three different powerful entities, must we say. So I enjoyed how slow it was. I enjoyed the tension between those two. I knew from It was a bit predictable for me. I knew from the instant when he was in the shadows, lurking and just looking at her, she looked like the lost lamb of the Twilight world. And he was a dark, mysterious figure that doesn't like to give an emotion away. But he's so, it was so, it was, you could read what was going to happen.
He gives me 50 Shades of Grey
Yes,
and
but then you could tell
six.
that's what where they were going with it. It is that kind of, that's what sells. That's what gets the young, I would say teenagers, I'll say early 20s. That's the kind of audience they went for. But it still worked around for everyone. So I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed her discovering herself, empowering herself to say, you know what, I have these powers and I'm going to find out how to make myself powerful. I do feel it should have been a little bit more fast paced, just a little bit more, because I felt like some bits dragged. They were staring at each other's eyes for like 10 hours.
When she's discovering herself, I'm like, okay, we get it. Because it's like, we know this is what's coming next. There's nothing more to come of it.
That's I think that's the bit. It was that slowness of it. That was just a bit like, okay, come on. But I still enjoyed it. I think because I was pre-warned that it is very slow, I kind of just needed that. Just enjoy the moment.
Anything about anything I want to watch, because then you already have it in your mind of what's coming or this is going to happen. Yeah. I don't want to know anything. If I'm going to watch, I need to watch it.
I enjoyed it either way. For me, I liked it. I'm looking forward to the next seasons. But yeah, that's mostly why I just like it.
What about you, T? What do you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm not like into, well, I am into fantasy. Let me just put it that way. But it's not, I don't gravitate to it. It's not the first type of thing that I gravitate towards. Like you lot said, because it was a bit Twilight-y, but I kind of just, and very predictable. And it was almost, it was Romeo and Juliet, but like Shreefa has already said, the vampires, the witches and the demons and all the rest of it. I don't know. It's just an easy watch. Like, it's not one of those things that I'm going to be texting people, you guys need to watch this show kind of thing. It was just an easy thing to watch. The concept is great. I like the fact that, like Shreefa said, it's not this show whereby, oh, I'm a vampire, I'm coming to eat your head, and, you know, I'm a witch, I'm going to cast a spell on you. It's all about keeping the equilibrium, making sure that each species is safe and they're doing what they need to do in accordance to their what do they call it, in accordance to what do they call it, their Bible. It's not a Bible.
I wouldn't say scriptures, that's not right,
the book of something, I forgot what
it's called. It's not the book of life, but they've got that that book that says that each species needs to, you know, mate on with their same, and you can't mix and all the rest of it.
It's like the rules and regulations on
kind of reminds me of some like traditions that certain cultures have, you know, like some cultures in Nigeria say you should only really marry in the same, like, is it the Igbos, I think?
Some of them are very, very
Nigerian. Like, what's the difference?
Some
tribes in the Igbo world are very into, you have to marry from the same tribe. It's all about enriching their tribe, making sure their tribe survive. In some aspects, I get it. In some other aspects, I don't. Yeah. Because we live in a world now that everything's mixing anyway. But for them, keeping the purity of their culture is very, very important.
But you all are from the same country. You all have the same fundamental beliefs.
Right. There's always that problem, isn't it? There's always going to be that class issue.
Keeping the bloodline.
And all that kind of stuff in it. And I guess we digressed a little bit, but I guess that's what A Discovery of Riches is trying to do. I don't know. I think they could have made it longer, because I think it's 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Love story for me excelled very, very quickly.
It did, honestly.
And I just thought to myself, is it because they're different? So yeah, that's why.
No, that's what you have to remember. They've got heightened senses. So
yeah, so that's probably what it was. It's just so intense that the fact that, you know, they met
and then they fell in love.
By day 5, they're already in love.
I love you. I was like,
what? All intense.
Come on, girls. In every vampire and werewolf stuff, there's always intense. They've got heightened senses. Werewolves always, what's it called? Imprint as well. So.
Is that what he did to her at one point? When that's the bit I want to ask. So there was a bit where she was jogging, her jumper was on the floor. He smelt her and he's like, "Run and don't, and just walk slowly or whatever."
He starts to crave her.
So he's so much in love with her that he craves her.
This was the second episode.
Yeah,
he liked her, like you said. He was stalking her, licking her, watching her moves. It was so obvious that he and she were going to
fly. It's a form of imprint.
I guess like he had always liked her. He was intrigued by her. So then when he smelt that jumper, it was like, don't run.
I mean, you need to go. Just don't run.
I'm going to bite your neck.
I did find it very cliche. I didn't, and again, I'm probably reading well into it. Like, he's the vampire. He's meant to be the bad one or dark. So he had dark hair. His movements were dark. She's this, you know, long lost or this good witch that doesn't, this innocent virginal good witch. She had long hair and I didn't mean virginal as in like sexually. I'm just talking about she's virginal because she doesn't know her like her powers and everything else. And she's got this blonde hair and everything about her, her aura. Like if you watched her closely, she never really wore dark clothes. She was always wearing pastel blues and creams and whites and all, and apart from her grey suit, but hey.
Trust you to be looking at the outfits.
No, it was just very much like, okay, they're trying to do this light and dark thing. Even with the other witch that had the same power as her, her hair was really dark and this witch's hair was blonde, you know, symbolising the darkness and the light. And I just thought to myself, it's so interesting.
You're saying that with the witch that was in the cupboard with her head.
Yeah, beware of the witch with the
tiger and the lion.
Lion.
Oh my.
The thing is, it's that's the world we live in. That's what represents being evil and being dark, isn't
but
everything being on the darker side of things, that's what they have.
That's what I said.
Can we not because that's what they have put perpetuated and then, you know, another topic for another day. Can we not?
But that's what they put into people's minds, and that's what this whole vampire and
where everyone's doing it, aren't they,
is into. But it's not always the case. It's not always the case in these type of movie series.
It's not always, but majority of films it is. If you look at is it The Huntsman?
Snow White and the Huntsman,
the good witch was white and the bad witch was wearing black.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, she
black has always been
white is known as purity.
I'm not even talking about race to begin with.
I'm saying
black is always, because it's hollow, it's dark, it's
the unknown, it's fear.
It's unknown. Like when you look into a dark room, it's dark. You can't see anything in there, right? When you have the lights on, it's light. So in some aspect, that's where some of these whole dark and light come from. Because in a dark room, it's just unknown. Light room.
Dark room's red for photography. Huh? Dark room's red for photography.
The reason is one of those moods.
What I'm saying, and I completely agree with you, is that sometimes I just feel like, especially if we don't delve too deep into it, it would be nice to see a program whereby the villain or people that are meant to be the baddies are just not in black. Choose a different color, you know, like the Joker. He's in green. I'm not talking about the movie, but like some of the cartoons and some of the other stuff, other Batman movies, he's in green. He's a baddie. His makeup makes you know that he's not, he's the villain. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's nice to see that whole cliche of, oh, I'm this, you know, this My Fair Lady with the blonde hair. They kind of did it similar to, it reminded me of Bridgerton. She reminded me of Bridgerton. Just the way she was acting and I was like, bleh. Sorry. That was a bit of a rant.
No, what I would like to see something like that, but it be a black woman. Like, I don't know. I watch a lot of these shows and sometimes just never see the main lady being all fragile and stuff.
This is a controversial question, but do you think this is black people genre? I say that this because I'm not saying
why wouldn't it be a black person?
because it's not been done. Like, do you think it's because it's not our necessarily, because obviously black films are drugs, gangster, slavery.
I think that's we watch Nollywood clips, voodoo. Things have been there way before, like,
yeah, of course, but I mean, I don't think have you seen a Nollywood vampire film? Like, I don't know if that's
I've not seen it, but I've seen adverts of it, yeah.
Well, I haven't, but I'm just saying, I don't know if that is...
I've been scarred, let's just know.
I don't think it's our audience. That's probably why it happened.
I don't think it's about the
audience.
I don't think it's about the audience. I think it's about the people that make the movies and how they perceive
that's
a vampire and a werewolf and a witch to be. So if you look at witches and people that have played witches, that people of colour that have played witches, and the only thing I can think about right now is Pirates of the Caribbean. Naomi Watts, wasn't it? Well, we'll find out. But one of the Pirates of the Caribbean, there is a witch in it, a black, and she's played by a black woman, and she's not necessarily the nicest looking, the prettiest of them all. And, you know, with this sort of program, this series, they wanted that My Fair Lady, and I guess where they were going, if those of you who haven't seen season two, watch season two, but, you know, when you watch season two, and we're going to talk about it next week, so I'm not going to give too much away, you can kind of see why she was chosen and he was chosen, because they fit in. I mean, it can work because Bridgerton has done it, where you've got the main character and people of high society.
Not the man, I'm talking about the woman.
Yeah, but even
I have never seen that. That's the only thing I've just finished watching the originals. There were black witches in there. There were pretty black witches. It was set in New Orleans, so there had to be that. But even with that, the black presence, the big black presence, didn't come until later on. Like the first few seasons were mainly white. So I'm just saying, I would like to see a main actress. I don't care what shade of black she is, but I would just like to see a main actress be that fragile damsel in distress. I've got my power now. I'm being saved. I don't care if the other guy, the love interest is white, black. I'm just saying it would be nice to see that, because it's something I really enjoy to watch. I would love to see that representation of me in a genre that I like. That's just me just generally speaking. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's not our genre, which is why it's
not. I don't necessarily think that.
No, I'm saying it is to a point, but you're saying like they don't like to portray women, black women, as damsels in distress. Like that's why it's not.
But it's not our genre. Because when
okay,
you
yeah. more of the people don't like it. I say that wrongly then, but yeah. I don't think it's not.
You imply that black people don't like watching.
No, they do. I love it. I'm not saying it in that
way. Okay, so it's not our genre. It's the people, it's the series and TV makers that don't like to cast black people in those categories.
Yeah, so I think using the word genre is probably the wrong word to use. But I mean, it's I know what I'm trying to say, and I think you guys get what I'm trying to say, but I think okay, so what I'm saying is that I don't think they don't necessarily see, I don't know who the they is either, but we're not seen, black women aren't seen in film as damsels in distress. So I don't think
women are not even proper damsels in distress, to be honest. They end up being all these powerful, confused with my powers. I'm going to kill people, I've got darkness in me, get it out, please.
Yeah.
The same old, but I still watch it. I still love it.
I think the script writers do not, when they write in these things, they do not have black people or black women in mind. So yeah. I guess whoever wrote A Discovery of Witches, they didn't have a black person in mind. And it wasn't that character, or the characters weren't for black people. Had Sharifa written it, or Shonda Rhimes written it, or, you know, Kenya, I've forgotten his surname, the guy that does Grownish, had written it, maybe it would have been for a black person. I mean, if you look, you just look at programs like Lovecraft Country, that was weird, that was wacky, that was all black, you know. So had Jordan Peele and creators had decided to write A Discovery of Witches, it would have been exactly the same how it is, but cast with black people. It's just that the writers for this particular show, they didn't have a black person in mind for it. I think we as people of color like to watch an array of things. So I don't think it's a case of it's not something that we like. It's just the people that are writing it don't have black people in mind.
That's why sometimes I think, because as a genre, I do like, I try and watch things that are made outside of normal streaming lines. So there was one I did watch, Always a Witch. So that's a Colombian one. And it's the main actress is a black lady. And it's actually quite good. Well, I like it. So it's actually quite good. So, I mean, hopefully we see more of them on our screen. But we'll see. Let's see. I'm looking forward to the next seasons coming out.
Yeah, it's got a lot of potential, I guess. See where it goes. But yeah, shall we get on to I Care A Lot? So I Care A Lot is an American psychological thriller written and directed by Jake Blakeson. The film follows a court-appointed guardian who seizes the assets of elderly people to then liquidize and then keep for herself and just make like monetary and just make herself rich, because I guess she comes from poverty, so she doesn't want that for herself. So she decided to become a criminal. So it stars Rosamund Pike, who plays Marla Grayson, and I never knew she was British. All this time I thought she was American, but she's a British actress who starred in a few hit films such as Gone Girl, Pride and Prejudice, and so many other films, with Peter Dinklage, who plays Russian mobster Roman Lunyov, an American actor who stars in my all-time favorite, Tyrion Lannister in the Game of Thrones and Avengers Infinity War. And we have Isa Gonzalez, who plays Fran and is also Marla's girlfriend. She's an American actress who starred in Baby Driver, I love that film, and Fast and the Furious. So Marla Grayson, she's like a con artist who manages to get hold of people's, what's the word? She gets hold of the...
people's details.
She manages to get legal guardian of people's details and then takes over their finances and their livelihood and gets them put away in a home. But this time around, she did it to the wrong person because she has ties to a Russian mob, the Russian gangster or something. Mm-hmm. So then obviously it's all about trying to get the Russian mobster's mum out of the care home. So yeah, I'm going to pass this on to Teresa because I'm not making a good job of it.
It's okay. I mean, we watched it quite a while back. So as Paulina said, let me just recap really quickly. But this lady who decides to target old people by telling them that, you know, that they can't take care of themselves. She works with her friend who's a doctor. They put them in a care home with the idea of then stealing all their money, wealth, properties, whatnot. And that's how she becomes rich. And I wanted us to watch this movie purely because it won, she won Best Actress on the Golden Globes, and I'm always intrigued by her. She reminds me, this is just side note, she reminds me of a female version of Edward Scissorhands. Do not ask me why.
Her face, it's just the blank stare.
Pale and that blunt,
her eyes.
Cut. Something about her just reminded me of Edward Scissorhands. Anyway, I was intrigued to watch it. It's a bloody good movie.
It's good, yeah.
I enjoyed the cleverness of it. I enjoyed the fact that she was, and it's deep. I enjoyed the fact that she was entrepreneurial to think, actually, there are so many old people out here that do not have family to take care of them, but they're sitting on millions. And old people do that. Old people know how to save their funds. They've done it for years. They've accumulated a lot of wealth to the point whereby, especially if you don't have a lot of family, they don't have wills set up, they're on their own. And so when they die, their money actually just goes to the state. That is very true. So she's thought of a way, actually, why doesn't it go to the state? Why doesn't it come to her? And it was just very clever insight into how people think about these sort of things. It was very sad as well, because it just shows that some people are so heartless in their endeavors to get money that they would do anything possible, anybody possible, in order to get that. And, you know, when we look at when we take a step back and we look at the beginning clips where this man is saying his mum is okay, she does not need this guardianship. Why can you not give me power of attorney over her affairs, and you're giving it to this lady that doesn't even know her? No one's listening because this lady is so well equipped to do what she was doing, that, you know, he's lost his mum.
Yeah.
And he's lost, and you can see from his point of view, it wasn't even about her belongings or whatever. It was just the fact that he is able to care for his mum, or more importantly, his mum was able to care for herself. So in effect, in a weird way, when you're mentally able to do things and then you've been put in a care home or even any type of home, it almost feels like prison. It was very cleverly done. I've never, in the longest while, I've never watched a movie where I'm glad that the ending, what happened to her, ended. Like, I was like, yes, like, good for you, good, which is really
But that's bad. After she's made all her money, though. That's what
she's made her money on. Like, the system...
And she doesn't get to enjoy her money.
Yeah, the system, like, I get it, because this system is actually in place in places like America, and even here, there are guardianship businesses that are made. And I understand why, yeah, it actually is something that happens.
No, so Britney Spears.
Yeah, so I understand why it's set up, because it is to protect some people, because some people, look at the story, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the story of the two brothers that tried to kill their parents for life insurance money. Poison their dinner.
The black kids.
Yeah. And for me, I'm a bit like, it is set up to protect people, because especially some old people, when they get to a certain age, they are old. Yes, they can take care of themselves, but people manipulate them. Family manipulates them. Family uses them. So I get why that system is set up, but I just wish, watching that movie, I just wish it was set up very secure, but nothing is ever secure.
You said about insurance, you used to be able to put life insurance on your kids, and people would actually kill their children in order to claim life insurance. So they've actually stopped you being able to put life insurance on children up until a certain age, just off of what you said about the kids and the parents.
Yeah, it's crazy. So even when I was watching this movie, I started watching it, I was just like, oh, let's see what this means. I didn't really read what it was about. I didn't do any back. I just watched it. I thought it was probably going to be about a psycho relationship or something like that. So when I started watching it, and it started with a court case and everything, and then she went out and said, right, we got them, who's next? I was just like, oh my gosh, this is actually a business. And immediately I was struck by a bit of grief, because I was just like, that's actually sad. It's really sad to have a son there that was willing to look after his mom, and all he wants to do is look after her to the day she dies. And now you're stopping him from seeing her. He's not even asking for the money. That wasn't even the prime thing. All he wanted to do was, can I just see my mom? And you're stopping him from seeing the mom, because you know that these people are practically in a prison. You take their phones away from them. You don't let them see their family. Like, you don't let them see their family, and you just leave them there. And when they start misbehaving, you take away some of their food privileges, going out privileges. That's disheartening. If anyone put my parent through that, I'll be so angry. Like, you're depriving me of letting my... we don't know if this guy had kids, but you're depriving the grandchildren from seeing their kids. You're depriving the man from spending the last time with his mom, just because you're trying to make money. That's what killed me about this woman, is the fact that she just didn't stop. The greed in everyone's eyes. I was like, how dare you? And it was the entitlement as well. It was like she was entitled to their money. Yeah. She was entitled to it. I was just like, you're being snoopy about someone else's money.
Like, even when the lawyer came in and was like, we'll give you this much. She's like, 3 million.
I thought you're being so greedy.
And you're with death, and you're still increasing your price.
The death is the fact that someone's come to give you 150,000, and because of what you think you can make from that person, you're still trying to push your luck. The thing is, they were both wrong on each side. Because if you look at what his business was practically, from what I got from it, he was shipping. He was human trafficking. That's what he was doing. So in a way, it was a way she brought him down, but she inspired him to have even a bigger business. You can imagine what was going on behind that guardianship business. She had the name, she had the money, but what else was going on behind it?
Mm. I actually thought they would end up working together at the end.
They did. They worked together. So he funded her business. Her big business was his fund. He was a silent partner.
I missed that bit.
He was getting money from her. Somehow
he gave her money to build the business up, and then he was taking a cut from it,
a long-term cut from it. So this is the sad nature of it. As much as it was cruel and all, I like the way they combined the business. I thought she was defeated when she found her girlfriend on the floor, but she was so clever the way they both just went all ninja style and caught him and left him in the naked street. I was like,
but saying that, I did think if he's some big time Russian mobster, I felt like those bits where they were quite clumsy. Like, when it comes to these things, I feel like there's no questions asked. You don't sit there and negotiate. You just kill and get on with it. If it's a real gangster,
but his mum was still his mum was in a cycle.
No, I mean in the sense of when he was like, make it look clean or whatever, and they didn't even go and check that she.
Yeah, that bit, I was like, wouldn't you scout it out?
Exactly, yeah. But they just like, oh, she's gone.
It's cockiness, though. They were confident in their ability to do their job. They underestimated her. They thought she wouldn't fight. They didn't expect her to wake up. So I think it was all of that. But I do understand where you come from. If you're that top notch, you're assassins. But there was an element of comedy in this whole
thing. Yeah, there was. I think that's when he got the gun and he was putting it at his stomach or wherever it was, it's like...
There was a bit of comic effect there. So I think that's why it wasn't that deep, that little...
I didn't find it funny.
I didn't find it funny. They tried the comedy aspect.
Yeah, they wanted to... I guess, again, for me, they wanted to make light of a heavy situation.
Mm.
But it was not... Like, when he came out, when like the first time we see... Terran, I've forgotten his name.
Roman.
What's his real name? Ronan.
Oh, in the film?
No, what is it?
Peter Dinklage.
Peter. The first time we see Peter.
I was saying Tyrell in my head as well.
Yeah, I was like, really? Tyrell. Like, I was like, even just the way they made him look as a character, it was very comical. And then he was like, the way he was speaking to his cousin or his brother at the time, I was thinking, you lot are taking the mic now. But I guess they probably tried to do all the comedy or tried to make it funny purely because it's a serious topic. And it really did hurt me. It really I was affected when she went to her friend at the care home and was like, up her meds, decrease her meds and up her exercise. Thinking, you're actually going to kill this woman. Like, you're really going to kill this person. And people, as you can see, this lady, she slowly started
deteriorating
because she's thinking, why am I here?
When she was walking around the hospital and they were like, excuse me, can I speak to someone? They're like, oh, go and sit down, and they'd inject her and all that stuff. I think that's when you're of sound mind and you have no control over the things you want to do,
they make you crazy.
That was really, really sad. But I think Rosamund, what she played the character very, very well. Like, I enjoyed watching her. I enjoyed the aspects of her cunningness, like how she's gonna
play this role. Well, you think it is? Gone
girl. Yeah, I was gonna say she's just Gone Girl again in another film.
Psychotic.
Yeah, I ain't seen Gone Girl.
Yeah.
Oh really?
No.
No, we have to watch
the original Gone Girl.
It is Gone Girl. Mind blown.
Have you seen the original, the first one?
That one with who?
The first one and the real story behind it.
No, I haven't.
What it's loosely based on?
No.
Yeah, it's loosely based on a story like that, though.
Oh, if we, I put your
and the real story. The real story. They never actually found the woman's remains, but they found baby remains, and the guy's the husband is in prison.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, is it based on a true story?
I know it's based on a true story.
They say it's based loosely on a true story, but it's practically because I knew about the real life story.
We digress, ladies and gentlemen.
I forgot what it's called, but the real person.
No, but what's Gone Girl about? What's the film about?
Okay, so Gone Girl is
you go.
Gone Girl is basically about a man and a woman in a relationship. The guy is very passive aggressive, slightly abusive. They have this image of a perfect life, but they don't actually have a perfect life. Mm-hmm. So she, I don't want to ruin it for you without you watching.
Yeah,
you the reason why is because you have to watch it.
Mind blown. If
I talk anymore,
yeah,
it will ruin okay. it.
Do they try and kill each other? Is this like miserable?
Just watch it.
It's a long film, but I remember I went to my friend's house and I was like, oh, let's just. Their family hadn't seen it. The whole family came and was literally glued to the TV because of the. It's really good.
Okay.
It's really good.
So I don't know her in Gone Girl, so I'll probably give that
it's basically this.
End. But yeah, she just like she played it. She played her character really, really well. I've just got lipstick on my
face.
Lassie and Scott Peterson. That's the case. Lassie and Scott Peterson in America. What? No, the case that Gone Girl was loosely based.
Oh, right. I didn't actually know it was a true story, but then I remember at the beginning it does
based,
say that.
It's not based on that story, but it's exactly the same thing that happened in that movie. So there's a movie before that that's actually based on that real life drama. And Gone Girl came out and everyone's like, hold on, it actually looks a little bit like that. But anyway, we digress.
It's got Ben Affleck in it as well, isn't it? It's a good film. But now, if you say any more, then it is ruined.
You know what? It slightly rings a bell, Ben Affleck and this lady, but hey ho. I enjoyed her character. I think she played it really well. I wouldn't have thought that she was going to be a lesbian, though. I don't know. I didn't believe their relationship.
Like her. for me.
Blunt cup doesn't mean anything.
Like, so. No, in terms of her authority, because maybe she was arguing with the son, and then she was like, don't ever think a man, blah, blah, blah.
So I get that. I just thought that she didn't like men, because some women don't like men, but I didn't think that her hatred for men would mean that she was a lesbian. I don't think she played that character. I don't think she played that particular bit well. That was just my view. But her
acting, I did think that was amazing. Yeah, I thought they were friends initially over them being lovers, but yeah.
I'm glad that she died. I know that's really bad, but I am glad that she died. And like, it's almost a taste karma. Of medicine. You kind of get what you want, but then it gets taken away from you. And you know,
in a way, carry the business.
Say that again.
Who would carry the business?
The man.
Find someone to carry on. The girl's there.
The girl
knows ins and out, but I feel like she would leave because she was itching.
She was trying to.
Yeah.
I feel like she only stayed for him, but you always find someone else to do. They've got guardianship business everywhere. There's going to be someone. It's now a business. You always find someone that can run it. You always. So
corruption. But yeah, it was nice. It was a nice film to watch. It was different from, you know, the norm, like, oh, gangster or killing or something random, a love story. It was quite educational in a weird way to think that, you know, these things actually do happen in the States especially. I enjoyed it. It was well deserved, and her acting was well deserved. I'm glad to see why she won the Golden Globe for that. So yeah,
good actress. But I actually thought she was American, so she's actually a really good actress.
Rosamund.
So anyway, what else are you guys watching now? What would you recommend for people to watch?
Oh, so I've just finished Your Honor.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is it bad? But I don't know. I don't even want to get into it. I think that's for an episode, but it's good to watch.
What about you, T?
My usual, you know me. I love my Damson. So Snowfall.
Yeah, same here.
I need to start that. I haven't watched it.
Girl. Although I do, there's something about season three that's not tickling me. I think it's now
like missing its charm. It's missing something.
Yeah. It's now heating up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not gripping me as it was. But I love it.
What's it about?
It's about
drugs. Without saying too much.
It's about drugs. It's about the drug. It's about drugs, basically. And territory. Everything that comes with drugs is about drugs. So I'm doing that. I'm doing all my other little crap, like Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives of
What did you think of this week?
I haven't watched it yet.
Atlanta. Oh, right, okay. Can't talk about it.
Atlanta.
You can talk about it. It's what's there to expect. These girls are just doing this.
I can't, like, anytime Cynthia's on screen, I'm just like, so the fact that this one was about her, I was just like, oh, great.
Let's not ruin it for Sharifa. We'll talk about
it
next week.
He said she don't mind, but it was her wedding. That's it. Nothing special.
I saw it in the previews anyway.
And I'm also started watching this Spanish. It's old, though, but it's right up my street. I might as well just be a drug lord or something, innit? Menorca. It's about a family, a Spanish family that are fighting for their territory, and their daughter. Have you ever seen Queen of the South?
I've seen it on it's Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah
I always see it there, but I just never watch it.
It's similar to Queen of the South, but a woman that comes into power, she takes over for her family business, and there are people that are trying to snake her, and she pulls up her socks and becomes the person that you can't ramp with. So that's also quite good. I started watching Your Honor as well. I haven't finished it. It kind of got a bit cliche for me from the onset, and I was just like, I kind of knew what was going to happen from the moment I knew he was the judge to the moment that his kid was in the accident. It was kind of predictable. Oh, he's going to have to try and get his son out of it. That's it. Sharifa?
I haven't been watching too much, but I have been doing some crazy watching. I just finished 5 seasons of the original in under a week.
Sorry, you said you haven't been watching too much. We've just finished 5 seasons.
That's all. Yep. Literally just been on with everything I've been doing. So I've been using 2 screens to do work because that's the only thing that would aid
in work. The original.
The originals. It might not be. Did you ever watch Vampire Diaries?
No.
Yeah, so it's kind of werewolves, vampires, witches.
Love it.
New Orleans.
Yep. I just remembered my guilty pleasure. Since we've been working from home, and when I've been able to take a lunch break, I have started watching Pelina, You'll Be Happy With Me, Married at First Sight Australia. Oh, my God.
Only just now. I bloody told you. I can't have another binge.
Sharifa.
I'm not saying it's not good or I it's not my thing. I'm just saying I can't do another binge watch. I cannot.
No. It's intense.
It's not even a binge watch. It's one of those things, like, it's one of those things you just watch in your, like, just
lying in bed. Yeah.
It's nothing.
I'll wait till I'm dried out and have nothing.
Nothing. But I used to watch Married at First, like the UK version, when season one first came out on Channel 4. I used to watch it and I was thinking, oh, this is a good social experiment. And then, you know, Australia takes over, US takes over, whatever, all the other countries want to jump on the bandwagon. And I remember Paulina saying that it was a good watch. And I don't know what it was. One day I was in, this is like TMI, well, it's not even TMI, I was in a meeting, but they were talking so much. I thought, let me just put something on whilst these lot are talking. I don't want to sleep. It can happen, especially when you're on Zoom calls and they're talking and you have to have your face online. They're taking
Show us your face.
I don't have a face. you're trying to be studious, isn't it? You're trying to act like you're really concentrated. And I was really tired. I said, I just need to find something that will make me look like I'm concentrating. And I put it on and I was literally hooked from episode one.
Are you on season six, right?
Say again?
Season six.
Yeah, with the the blonde lady with the long hair and the tea on each other, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Good trash TV, actually. It's one of those ones that you can watch whilst you're cooking as well. So that's why that's how I watch it. I watch it whilst I'm cooking.
And if I think I'm going to have to sit that one out for a little bit. But I'm can we just talk about how Money Heist is coming back on the 3rd of April? And it's all the episodes coming out on Netflix. I have been watching
my finished placement, so I'm so excited to come home.
I have been watching Snowpiercer and Black Lightning. Those are the only other two things.
That's what I'm waiting for. Black Lightning to come on Netflix because I'm not doing it on what's its face.
I'm just, this is the last season though. Anyway,
I hate that I watch it, but I need to know
what I'm saying. It's not great, so but you just want to know how it ends. It's so funny. When black people do superhero stuff, it annoys me because the storyline is actually good. The storyline is not bad. But have better actors. Like last week's actor, the assassin, I was just like, what's this?
I'm gonna ask, is Toby still in it?
You're going to die. I'm like, why are you doing this?
Is Toby still in it?
Sorry?
Toby still in
Tobias. It. Tobias. Yeah,
Tobias.
Yeah, he's still in it.
Why?
They're all not the greatest, but anyway, we'll power on. We have to support.
I watched Luke Cage.
I love Luke Cage. Don't talk about Luke Cage.
You love him because of the actor. Don't
even say it was not a great series at all.
It was good.
And it's always, as you said, it's always about drugs. Like superheroes, always about drugs.
What else is it about though, really?
It's always about drugs.
Is it Black Lightning with Jill Scott?
Yeah, she's not in this she was in season one and two.
I've seen it before.
My husband loves all that kind of stuff, so every so often he'll watch it, and I'll sit down and watch it with him, and I'll be like, oh, he's in it, this one's in it, and I'll be like, oh, this is crap.
Oh, crap. Did you guys ever watch Revenge? Because Revenge makes me
sad. I loved Revenge. The way it ended.
So badly. It ended so
I was hooked to Revenge. When I tell you, my life
was... Every Monday, I was coming at 9 o'clock.
That Channel 4, yeah? That
was E4. It was like E4 or something.
E4.
About the girl that wants to find out who killed her dad or something.
Yeah. But the end was just like, oh, no, finished. I was so disappointed with the end.
I used to watch that in Once Upon a Time as well. That's why.
I saw that Once Upon a Time.
I love fairy tales. So I just love the incorporation of it, making it to an adult version for us. So it's not always what we seemed it was like, if that makes sense. So Cinderella wasn't really the whole Cinderella story, we knew Rapunzel. I just like that. So yeah, I loved Once Upon a Time. I'm a sucker for fairy tales.
I think right now, like, I think I'm all TV'd out, to be honest. There's times I'm like, there's actually nothing to watch. Then I find some rubbish.
Just read a book.
Alrighty.
I'm just not.
Well, thank you guys for joining us for this episode. And join us next week for episode 9, isn't it?
Yes.
Gosh. All right.
One more after 9.
All right, my lovelies. So we bid you adieu. Bye.